All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and our next guest is the other Scott Horton, heroic anti-torture international human rights lawyer and contributing editor at Harpers.org. Of course, he used to be the chair of the New York Bar Association's Committees on International Law and on Human Rights. His latest piece is called You, Latif, and the Rise of Secret Justice. Welcome back to the show, other Scott. How are you doing?
Great to be with you.
Good. Well, I'm happy to have you here. Well, we were just talking about John Yoo, convicted in absentia of war crimes yesterday at this mock trial in Malaysia. So that was good. I was actually very pleased, I should say, to read in your article that I wasn't the only one astonished. You said that court watchers all over the place were actually pretty surprised to find or to see what the Ninth Circuit Court ruled in order, or what they came up with, I guess, in order to grant immunity to tortured lawyer John Yoo last week. Can you fill us in, please?
Yeah, in fact, at the end of the week, I'm going to be publishing an interview with Professor William Chavez at Middlesex University in London, who's one of the leading international criminal law experts. But I've gone back and interviewed a number of the leading authorities in international criminal law about the Ninth Circuit opinion and asked them, what do you think of this opinion? And to which they all seem to respond, yuck. I mean, this court doesn't get anything correct. It's pretty obvious that this decision is handed down to reach a predetermined result. That is, they're looking for some way to let John Yoo off the hook. And to get there, they've decided to say that, it may be what he wrote and what he authorized is torture, and we'd all agree today it was torture. But between November of 2001 and the beginning of 2003, when these memos were written, just in that short period of time, somehow there were all these amazing questions about torture, so it was really unclear. So at that point, we should give him the benefit of the doubt. And then to support this view, they managed to cite only one single opinion, which is a decision that was handed down by the European Court of Human Rights in 1978. It was in a complaint against the United Kingdom brought on behalf of Irish prisoners who were held in British confines. This is during the Troubles. And in this case, the court goes over a whole series of techniques that are used, which are pretty awful, and some of which are, in fact, reflected in the Yoo memorandum, but not all. Yoo goes far beyond them. And in the end, the court says, these techniques constitute cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment, but not torture, per se. So they're saying it's still illegal, it's still unlawful, in fact, it's still criminal, but we won't quite use the T word. And that 1978 opinion really isn't good law anymore because the court subsequently pulled back from it and reversed it. And indeed, after that decision, the United Kingdom itself stopped using those procedures.
Seriously, they're citing an old dead court decision that's been superseded.
That's correct.
And a court decision from the European Court that I'm sure John Yoo would always defer to what the European Court says, right?
From the European Court, and they misread the opinion on top of everything else.
Amazing.
So it's an absolutely appalling demonstration of stupidity by the judges in the Ninth Circuit. And in fact, this panel included some, I think, generally well-regarded judges. But I think the game is up here. The game is that they were trying to figure out a way to let you off the hook. And I think they realized that they had to engage in some real legal sleight of hand to help them out. And this is what they decided to do.
All right. Now, before we get too far into that, because I want to let you talk about Judge Bybee and the reasons, as you just mentioned. But I want to fill people in a little bit in case they're kind of new to this story. This guy, Jose Padilla, apparently he knew some Al-Qaeda somebodies. But Binyam Mohammed was tortured in a Moroccan prison with razor blades until he would make up this silly story that Jose Padilla was going to bomb us all with a radioactive dirty bomb. And then based on that premise, John Ashcroft announced from Red Square in Moscow that he was giving up jurisdiction over Jose Padilla, who was an American-born American citizen arrested on American soil by FBI agents, presumably wearing parkas or suits, not arrested by soldiers or military police or something. But Ashcroft announced, well, I'm giving up my authority over this guy, and I'm turning him over to Donald Rumsfeld and George Tenet to be tortured. And that's what they did. They tortured him for years and years. They drove him out of his mind, right? Used psychotropic drugs on him and all the MK-Ultra no-touch torture techniques that they copied from the Nazis. And he was barely even fit to stand trial, where then they convicted him of, you know, knowing a guy who knew a guy who once sent money to Chechnya, even though America was on the side of the rebels in Chechnya anyway. Something like that. And now this guy is sitting in prison and he's trying to sue this American citizen who was, as everybody I think agrees, was tortured. Except the Ninth Court here is citing this bogus old European court case to try to basically paraphrase you himself and say that, well, if you puts the question of what's torture into question, then it's in question, and maybe this isn't quite torture. That's basically the extent they have to go to in order to deny this, you know, justice to this plaintiff.
I think you've got that basically right. I mean, I'd say, you know, this lawsuit's being brought by Yu's mother in his name.
Padilla's mother.
Padilla's mother. Padilla, in fact, is basically a human eggplant at this point. He's been so badly damaged and traumatized by the techniques that are applied to him that he's, you know, hardly able to stand and reason and operate. So this is his mother who's coming in and bringing this suit. But you know, your narration is pretty much right. Up to the point of saying that John Ashcroft announced this at Red Square. In fact, it was in the lobby of the Radisson Slavyanskaya Hotel in Moscow, which I know because I was there as he made the announcement, listening to him.
Oh, I thought it was outside in Red Square.
And not in Red Square, no.
Okay, well, you got me. It was in Moscow, though.
But it was in Moscow, and I remember listening to it and listening to this tall tale being told about dirty bombs and so on, and just being shocked by it, as everyone was, just electrified by it. And then, you know, subsequently it turns out that, you know, that no, in fact, you know, the Justice Department never had the information to back up that claim. That was basically gossip. Never should have been said, and certainly was never proven. And what the prosecutors did nail him on was evidence linking him to membership, having applied for membership and for training with Al-Qaeda. So they could link him to Al-Qaeda as an organization. Now, I think that's what led to him being convicted.
Right. But even then, that job application, all they showed was that there were fingerprints on it. They never showed when they got there. Right.
I think that's right. I mean, at the time he was doing it, there was no war going on against the United States, but it still was a terrorist organization. So they could link him convincingly to a terrorist organization. They really weren't able to link him very convincingly to specific terrorist actions targeting the United States. But I would say, you know, nobody says this is a nice guy, you know. I mean, clearly he was involved with a terrorist group, and clearly he meant harm to the United States. So I would say the fact that he was arrested and that he was later prosecuted, there's nothing really shocking or horrible about that. The real issue here was about torture and mistreatment, for which there really was no justification, and which really only undermined the ability of the United States to gain information about what was going on and to prosecute an effective legal case.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, the thing of it, I'm not trying to make it out like Jose Padilla was a great guy, just that there's a vast discrepancy between he was going to set off a radioactive dirty bomb and demolish a bunch of apartment high-rises versus, oh, yeah, he knew a guy who knew a guy who, you know, and the government says his fingerprints are on this piece of paper and whatever. You know what I mean? That's a big difference.
You can just ask, did the Justice Department mislead America about Jose Padilla? Yes, absolutely they did. They made public statements, hyperventilating statements, that just weren't true.
Yeah. All right, now I guess we'll have to pick up this story on the other side of this break. Jose Padilla, the American citizen, and his dismissed lawsuit. And then we have more news also about unbelievable secrecy in the American court system with the other Scott Horton from Harpers.org. We'll be right back after this. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with the other Scott Horton, heroic anti-torture international human rights attorney and contributing editor at Harpers.org, where he keeps the great blog No Comment. And we're talking about this decision by the Ninth Circuit Court that Jose Padilla's mother can't sue John Yoo for torture, because at the time that he was being tortured, the question of what's torture and what's not and whether it's legal or whether it's not was in question, because John Yoo himself had put it in question by writing memos to George Bush telling him that he had the authority to torture people if he wanted to. And so that's all very strange and troubling. And then, of course, there's, as other Scott Horton mentioned, the pretty obvious reason why, and that is because Judge Jay Bybee, who was John Yoo's co-conspirator in writing these memos, is now also a member of the Ninth Circuit Court. And so they're just protecting their own at the expense of hundreds of years of law in the Anglo-American tradition here. I guess on the Padilla question, him specifically, I don't know whether this has much to do with the legality or the ruling here, Other Scott, but he was an American citizen arrested by civilian police on American soil, which makes him a different case than, say, John Walker Lind, who was arrested on the battlefield with the Taliban and was given a civilian trial and a plea deal. And 20 years, which I guess Padilla ended up getting a civilian trial, but not before years full of being turned into an eggplant, I think he called them.
Yeah, I mean, these are cases of, you know, torture practices being applied to American citizens. And I think that's one of the most striking things about it. And the constitutional protections, the Eighth Amendment protection against cruel and unusual punishment, would clearly appear to be in play in these cases, and would clearly appear to have prohibited the torture that applied. But I think, you know, we can go beyond that, and we can say, you know, torture is an ultra-rare crime, which cannot be subject to a statute of limitations, cannot be waived, and probably is not subject to any grants of immunity, which is, in fact, what they did here. In fact, you can go back and look at what Robert Jackson said at the beginning of the Nuremberg proceedings. He said, you know, there can be no claims of state immunity with respect to crimes against humanity. And that, you know, that's a group that's always been defined to include torture. So the Ninth Circuit opinion is just objectively wrong as a matter of law. There's no way that these sorts of protections can be invoked to cover torture as a crime. And I think this, you know, opens up the question that you've been discussing in the last segment, which is prosecutions elsewhere, because if the U.S. courts are not available to deal with these matters, then under applicable doctrines of international law, this means that foreign courts should deal with them. And that means that, you know, John, you should be prosecuted outside of the United States and should be subject to civil claims outside of the United States connected with torture. And I would suspect that John Yoo well appreciates that, and that's one of the reasons why he doesn't leave the United States anymore. He used to spend a lot of time in Italy. You know, I've talked to people who've met him there, and I also know some Italian prosecutors who would love to receive him again.
Yeah, well, I sure hope that's true. And as you kind of were referring to there, I did speak with Francis Boyle in the last segment, and he said that, you know, it's true that the defendants didn't show up for this thing. They were tried in absentia, but it was a real deal type of prosecution, and they had Malaysian defense attorneys who did their very best to try to defend Bush and Cheney and their and Rumsfeld and their lawyers, and those defense attorneys just failed because, in fact, they are guilty of war crimes.
Yeah, I think the you know, the evidence here is very, very strong, and the Ninth Circuit, amazingly, in their opinion, said you know, we assumed that this was torture and he was tortured, which in fact is what they're required to do, because this was a preliminary motion. They're required to assume that all the allegations are true for purposes of resolving it. So there you've got this really distressing precedent of a court of appeals saying that an American government official can direct the torture of another American citizen and they're just immunized for it. In fact, we have a long history of federal court opinions that say exactly the opposite, and we have an executive order that was issued by James Madison back in the beginning of the 19th century, in which he said there would be no immunity for American officials who commit crimes.
Huh. Well, now, is the issue just dead here unless the Supreme Court agrees to hear it?
I'd say that's the end of this federal court case against you, but it's certainly not the end of you's legal problems. Again, I think, if you leave the United States, he's likely to face, much more serious problems than this suit from Padilla. And I would say that, these claims and criminal charges against you can be revived at some point in the future. In fact, you can look at what happened in Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Peru. In each of these countries, government officials who were involved in torture had immunity, and they had all sorts of special defenses. And after 20 years, roughly, in each case, each of the countries decided to dispense with the immunity and to proceed with criminal prosecutions. And I think, you have to realize that that's a quite realistic prospect for him in the future.
Mm. All right. Well, yeah, let's hope so. And let's see him flip turn state's witnesses, start talking about Dick Cheney. That's what I want to see. Okay, now, I'm sorry because we're almost out of time here, but I was hoping you could tell us maybe the briefest version you can think of the Lateef case, where basically the courts have issued this secret ruling saying that the government can keep holding this guy even though they have no reason to hold him.
Yeah, so Lateef, the district court judge, looked at the case and said there really is no evidence as a basis to hold this guy. The CIA report on him is so weak and so contradicted by other evidence, I'm just not accepting it and I'm turning him free. And then two of the three judges on the Court of Appeals panel said, no, there's a virtually irrebuttable presumption in favor of secret government documents, which we can't read or see. They have to be correct. Of course, even in this case where the district court said, but they're not correct because they're contradicted by other evidence. That case has been, the opinion itself was redacted, now it's been unredacted a bit, and the more of it that comes and sees the light of day, the more ridiculous this opinion looks. It looks like it's directly trying to reject the Supreme Court's rule on habeas corpus for Gitmo detainees. So, I think this is a pretty bizarre case. And I think it's also it's interesting because they're trying to cloak everything in secrecy. And what we see consistently when the secrecy ruse is played, that when you peel it back and then later see what was written, well, what's written and what they classify as secret is usually stupid. I mean, it's nothing that anybody would believe.
Right. That's why they have to keep it secret in the first place.
Exactly right.
Like, boy, we can't ever let anybody see this. Well, now, okay, so if we like went back a little bit of hindsight 2020 kind of thing and say I ask you about your view of how the law existed in America and say, I don't know, I'll pick a year, 1994, is the law as it is supposed to apply to the government itself and to bind their powers and actions, is it just a joke now? Because that's what I'm hearing from you, is that this is absolutely ridiculous, both of these cases, and this is just two that we can fit in, a couple of short segments on the show. But it sort of seems like the rule of law in America is a joke now.
I would say that what we're seeing are some pretty radical changes in the law. So one of them has to do with immunity for official acts of government officers that involve serious crimes. And there used to be an exception for torture and other heinous crimes that was not covered by immunity. In fact, U.S. officials spoke very eloquently against any such kind of immunity previously. And now we're seeing a series of high federal courts saying, no, absolute immunity for any sort of crime. And the other thing is secrecy. And we're seeing more and more secret courts, secret evidence, secret opinions. And when the secrecy gets peeled back, we see that what's underneath the cover secret is pretty absurd. This is really seriously undermining the entire justice system right now.
Well, now, it's been a couple of years, but they had these massive protests of lawyers and judges in Pakistan saying, we want law. Where are all the lawyers in America? It seems like there are a lot of you lawyers. Where's the giant, we are outraged and we want the Bill of Rights and we want it right now kind of thing going on here? Article 1, Section 9 and all that.
I'm pretty regularly attending Bar Association meetings, and I think, you know, the bar, by and large, is looking at these opinions and expressing disgust with them. So it's pretty much the case that the organized bar disapproves what's going on and sees it as corrupt and politically motivated. I mean, you know, the bottom line here is you've got a bunch of Republican judges who are trying to let their friends off the hook. That's pretty much all this is about. And this really, it undermines the reputation of the courts and our justice system when they do this.
Yep. Well, I guess I just don't feel like, it doesn't seem to me like they're hopping mad. I mean, you're hopping mad about this. You've been writing about this daily for years and years and years because it's just not right, and that compels you to write about it, obviously. But it sort of seems like a deafening silence from most of the legal community in America, and I say that from way outside of it, obviously.
But look at the papers in these cases, and you'll see bar associations and lawyers groups, carrying the case forward in all these cases. So
that's
way lawyers intervene. You know, they don't organize press conferences.
Right. All right, good deal. Well, we're over time, as always. I keep you into the break here, but thank you very much for your time, Other Scott.
Great to be with you. And next time you got to have me come back and I'll tell you some of the new developments in the Siegelman case where there's a lot buzzing.
You know, I need to go back and do some rereading on that case before I catch up. But okay, sounds good.
We'll do it. Take care.
All right, everybody, that is the Other Scott Horton, heroic anti-torture international human rights lawyer and contributing editor at harpers.org. And we'll be right back, maybe right now. Let me see.